Live from the Hanania studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Blaine will start at quarterback, and we're excited about the opportunity for him. Both he and Chad, though, will get ample time with the first group. We do have it set up with our offensive line. He's going to go for quite a while, first group offensive line, and receivers, too, to give him ample opportunity to both get playing time with them.
We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel, sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here we go, rolling into Jaguars Thursday. Thanks again to head coach Gus Bradley for an hour. Now it's time to bring in the experts.
Where?
Yeah, yes. Self-proclaimed
they?
As they may be.
Where are they?
Brunel and Tony Baselli join Jeff Loggeman and me for the next hour. So here's the question. Today, Gus Bradley at his news conference says, Blaine Gabbert's the starter. Did he earn it? Is that?
Based on what? Based on the last game?
Practice. It's the whole body of work.
Well, yeah, body of work. I mean.
Does that matter? Did he have to earn it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's an open competition, as Gus has said it is, which I believe it is, then you have to earn it. And obviously, from – I think it's two things. One, I think it's very close. And I've said from the beginning, back when we were doing on the Wednesday night show, that if it is close, it is Blaine's – it's Blaine's job to lose. He is has a higher ceiling. He is the first-round pick. He is the guy that they are hoping.
Take that out of there.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I don't think that factors in because he's not Dave Caldwell's first-round pick. I think that's out the window now.
But he's the young guy, Jeff, with all the talent and the upside.
But a lot of people have a tendency to say first-round pick and he's going to be the guy just because of that, and that's not true.
No, I'm not saying just because of that. I'm saying but it all goes into the psyche of making a decision, I believe. But then you look at, based on last week's game, it's hard. You can't just say point, you know, black or white issue. Chad played better than Blaine because he did better numbers, moved the ball better, and everything else. But he was playing with the number one group against the number two Dolphins defense, which matters. I was a little bit surprised with all that said that I thought because what most teams do in a quarterback situation like this, where it's an open competition, one guy starts week one, and no matter what happens or how they play, the other guy starts week two.
And Gus said that. He said that's the conventional.
That's the conventional. And that's what I thought they would do. Obviously, I think Gus and Dave, it's an open competition, but I think they really want to see what Blaine can do and get as many reps as they can on tape and make a judgment.
Why are you talking so much about the quarterback when we got Mark Brunel in here?
Because he asked me.
Who asked you?
He doesn't know anything.
Who asked you? You jumped right in and took it.
Well, did you expect anything else?
No.
Well, then
shut up.
That's
why I'm trying to get you to quiet down.
No, I don't want
to. Quarterback speak. Mark, go ahead.
He talks all the time.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't like any of you guys right now.
Gus said it in his show, and it's one word, and I know you guys caught it, but the word is projection. It's projection. Who has the most upside? That's Blaine Gabbert. And, throw out the ratings from last week. You know, he also used this word intrigued. They're very intrigued by Blaine Gabbert, which means he's showing some things in practice. He's doing some things. Talked to Jed last week. He said he's getting better every day. It's not just about his completion percentage in practice. It's about the command of the offense, his confidence, and he has a presence about him now that he didn't have last year. And so, listen, there's nothing against Chad Henne. Chad Henne had his chance to be the franchise quarterback with the Miami Dolphins. It didn't work out. Now, if I'm looking for a solid backup, I'm not looking any further than Chad Henne. He's great. But Blaine Gabbert is going to be the starter, and he needs the time with the ones to develop against a first defense, a defense that will show you multiple looks, whether they choose to or not on
Which they will. I mean, heck, that's Rex's style.
And you know what? They need to do some – they need to create some problems for opposing offenses, even in this preseason. So it's a great test for Blaine. And, you know, they have some unanswered questions about Blaine. Can he be the guy here for a long time to lead this franchise to a championship?
So are you saying it's not really an open competition then?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And see, I think it is an open competition. But I think that they have bodies of work from Blaine, and then they have one from Chad, and they feel like there's more to grade and evaluate on Chad that's already out there and has been out there, whereas there's a lot of unknowns in the projection. They watch Blaine make a throw and go, Chad can't make that throw. And so they say, okay, you know, let's see more of Blaine because we've already seen more of Chad in the past.
But
so I think the competition is there, but it's not, you know, it's not the competition of where he gets 10 reps, he gets 10 reps, he gets two starts, he gets two starts.
Agreed.
I think there's still a competition, but it's just not necessarily on the exact same terms.
And I agree with everything you guys have said. The projection, the ceiling, I'm a Blaine guy.
That's because we know more than you.
Okay. Mm. Besides that not being true, but sooner or later, the production has to happen on the field.
No doubt.
The production has, and you say it's an open competition. He doesn't say. Only Gus and Dave know in reality what it is and what's going to happen. Gus says it is, so we'll take his word for it. From a fan's perspective, what you hear, and I know fans aren't making the decision, but fans are, they're ready. They want to see, I don't think anyone's expecting Super Bowl or talking like, but they want to see this thing going in the right direction. And they want to see all the projection and all the potential that we all see and believe in Blaine translate to something positive happening on the field. And that didn't happen week one. Now, frankly, week one of the preseason doesn't mean all that much. And I think we all know that. And so this is an important game for Blaine. This is an important opportunity. He has been given the start again. What that means, we can debate. With the first unit against a nice, a good defense, he's got Blackman
it's
back.
It's beyond good now.
I don't think it is. No.
You can say that all you want, but you look at the last
did.
4 years under Rex Ryan.
Year they were an elite defense?
No, I'm just saying they have
been elite against
opposing quarterbacks.
But they're not an elite defense. They're a good defense. They were elite 2-3 years ago when they were carrying the team to the AFC title.
Where were they ranked last year? I believe they were 10th.
Yeah, they finished.
Top
10 defense last year, and they were one of the top teams in the league as far as quarterback rating and quarterback completion percentage. They are a top defense against opposing quarterbacks.
We can go back and forth on the semantics of whether they're good or elite.
Number one against opposing quarterbacks.
Well, that's the exact reason why Blaine should start this game.
And it's very important. This is an important game for Blaine Gabbert.
How hard is that defense, Mark? You saw it every day in practice for a number of years.
A lot of moving parts, multiple fronts. They got blitzes. I mean, they'll drop their Mike Backer. I remember seeing Bart Scott drop
to deep
middle. You know, just shooting out from his Mike position in the middle linebacker and shooting back to the deep middle. And
like center field deep middle, not like two Cathy deep middle.
Responsible for deep middle. I mean, they do things I've never seen before. They're very creative now. It'll bite him, you know, if a quarterback or an offense is not on his game, it'll get him, and it has the last couple years. They are not where they were before, but the scheme is certainly elite. I just don't think they've had the players, and they've had some injuries, and I don't think they've had the players last couple years to do that. But Rex Ryan knows what he's doing on defense, and
he's a great coach.
He's a very good defensive mind.
They were eighth, and by the way, they were second against the pass.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Tony.
Okay, I don't think they're an elite defense.
They're elite against the pass and against opposing quarterbacks. They're very, very good because they're so difficult to decipher. Now, will they stay the same this year? Probably so, because it's a Rex Ryan defense. They have a new defensive coordinator. Mike Penton went to Buffalo. Dennis Thurman, who is the DB's coach, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Has now taken over as defensive coordinator. But make no mistake about it, Rex Ryan's running the ship on defense. I don't know if you guys saw
his
quotes this week. He talked to some, he was asked some questions about offense from the preseason game, and he says, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, how did you not see it? He said, well, I watched the offense on film. I'm worrying about the defense. He's over on the sideline talking to his defensive guys.
That's just Rex. You're going to hear a few sound bites that are
interesting. He had two really good ones this week. He had that one. And then he had the one about Geno Smith, which he had a practice, which he called brutal.
Which is just
his worst yet.
In my opinion, as the head coach, you don't do that to your rookie quarterback.
I don't think you do it to any rookie. I mean, why single out any rookie having a bad day?
That's part of the problem.
He does that because they like what they see, and they just want to see, at least Rex does, just wants to see how Geno responds, how he comes out the next day. Now, if he comes out and has a great practice the next day, then the plan worked. If he just, you know, two bad ones in a day, though, that tells you something about the backup quarterback.
He's got a little Bill Parcells in him.
Yeah.
You know, Parcells used to be a master at that. I mean, you watch the old NFL film stuff, you know, the tricks he used to do to motivate guys, put a gas can in their locker, and some guy's trying to figure out what's it for, and he said trying to find out if you got any gas left in the tank. I mean, you know, it's kind of little needle things like that that he does to guys to get them motivated.
I love it.
Let's go back to what Tony was talking about, and that was Blaine. And, you know, you mentioned Jed Fish and his comments. Blaine's gotten better. I'm sure your Twitter's exploded since those comments with people just like mine did. You know, so where is it? How come we haven't seen it? So where did
– one preseason game? How many times did he throw?
And I think they probably read –
10.
They probably read about the practice.
Throws 10 times.
The practices this week.
His ratings in the teens. One preseason game against a pretty decent defense.
So tell people where he's gotten better, I guess.
Well, you know, that's – you know, people are looking for the numbers, and, you know, they're not out of practice. They're not in the meeting rooms. They're not seeing it. We don't see it, you know, and it's a very results-oriented business. They want to see and move the team and put the points on the board. But, listen, it's week one of preseason, of four preseason
games.
No,
I mean, I do get that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I agree with Mark. I mean, we cannot make too big a deal of one preseason game, 10 throws, a quarter of action with the three best players on this offensive team not playing. However, from a fan's perspective, I get it. They are tired of hearing it's getting better. You know, oh, he's
they
doing.
They want to know something he's doing better.
Not only something, they want to see it.
So
and
do
I think we all
and
do.
He's got to be better.
And that's why this is an important game. This Jets game, and while Jeff and I might disagree on semantics, whether they're great, good, elite, whatever, they're going to give him a challenge. And so it's a big challenge for the offense. He gets Blackman back, and he and MJD is going to play some snaps. He needs to have a good night.
You can't discount the fact that he didn't play with Blackman shorts.
No, you can't.
You can't. But having said that, watch the tape. I know for sure you did. Did you get
it? Yes.
Okay. So what can he do better this week? What are you looking for him to be better at this week?
Well, I mean, he's got to be more accurate, and that interception, it simply can't, you know, it's got to hit the kid in the chest. It can't be a little behind him. It can't be high. Those things will kill him.
So more
it
accurate.
Just killed the drive. You know, he puts that ball in the chest. They're inside the 10, and they score. We're talking about an entirely different situation, you know.
He's got to slow down a little bit.
He's got to move the team. He's got to make some big throws. He's got to be more accurate. Listen, it's first pass to Ace is dropped. You know, for the young man who plays big that never dropped a pass in all of South Carolina.
Senior year,
first pass in the NFL, he drops. And so, listen, the quarterback position is you know, we look at the numbers, but your success is based on the other 10 guys. You've got to have the protection. You know, that first pass, Joko gets just bull rushed, and he gets knocked down. So. Listen, I'm a big Blaine fan. I understand.
You're a quarterback apologist.
There's no question.
I mean, my goodness.
He has to play better, but understand that you've got to have the pieces in place, and he didn't in week one. Do we have to see something? Absolutely. If he goes out and has four preseason games like he had that, you know, first preseason, he probably won't get the starting job.
No, Chad Henne will win it.
Chad Henne. But, you know, they seem to think that they believe that they're intrigued. They're seeing some things in practice, and so that's
don't
why
you,
he's starting.
Don't you get the impression though when you watch him that he's trying so hard sometimes, and the clock is going fast to where sometimes he just needs to slow down a little bit and relax.
You know, I have not seen that. Listen, he's got some work to do, and you know, if you just look at big picture and we go back to the body of work, his first 2 years, and we've talked about this. Everybody's talked about this. But I just see the potential. You see him throw out there. No one else on that field can make those throws.
Nope.
There's not a lot of quarterbacks in the league that can throw the ball like he can. And so there's potential there. He's progressing. There's a chance that he goes on to be the guy around here for a long time. And until that the answer is no, you know, which could happen very shortly, you got to give him every opportunity to develop and go forward and see if he can be the guy. He has the upside.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday with Mark Brunell, Tony Buscelli, and Jeff Lagerman. Join us as we come back for more on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Not even, the discussions have not even stopped during the break. Are you kidding me?
No, it's still going.
That break went fast.
This whole quarterback apologist by the former quarterback.
I can't help myself.
I love, well, if the other 10 guys all do perfect, then it, you know, well, my goodness. Listen, you guys get paid all this money and get all the recognition and all the hype.
Here we go. Some
issues guess what?
Coming out.
You figure out how to do it when it's not perfect.
I was going
to
ask
anybody
you
can play quarterback. It's called 7-on-7 if there's no pass rush.
I was going to ask you about playing psychoanalyst and counselor for Mark Sanchez. It seems like you've been doing it for a long time.
Psychoanalyst.
Since 95.
Retrieving Mark water.
Tony Buscelli are here. If you'd like to weigh in, hey, look, there's a lot of bark in this room, but no bite. So jump in if you'd like. 355-NFL 1-800. 355-6351. You know, for the issues of quarterback here, trying to figure it out, they got all kinds of issues in New York.
More than just quarterback.
Oh, man.
They got quarterback issues. They got head coach issues. And I think Rex, but as far as whether he's going to be there or not with the new GM, I mean, what does he have to do to keep his job? And then on top of that, you got the circus that's the New York Jets have become as far as just the noise that is created. Now, it's a little quieter since our Mr. Tebow left, but it's still, I mean, it's a circus up there.
I tell you, our quarterback situation is better than what they have
up
there.
Oh, gosh, yes. Way better.
I don't know, man. I kind of like the butt fumble.
Hey, watch it now. I'm going to quarterback apologize.
Yeah, here
especially,
we go.
Make especially on
Mark fault, Sanchez. Whose fault was that?
That was a lineman's fault.
Oh, exactly. How about opening your eyes?
That had to be one of the greatest NFL bloopers in NFL history.
You know, the funny thing about Sanchez is the first 2 years.
Is that what you taught him, Mark, while you were there?
That's exactly what I taught him.
He's performing very well then.
Yeah, I did it. I had a huge
You did
impact.
A great job. I'm surprised they didn't bring you back.
To help with Gino. You did so well with Mark. Yeah,
Mark experience worked out really well. Hey, can you come help Gino now? Butt fumble?
I'm surprised I didn't get more calls last year to come out and mentor. Why didn't the Colts call me to help with Andrew Luck? Or RG3, I could have returned to Washington. Why didn't they call?
I don't know, man. They don't know what they're missing.
Man, no kidding.
Yeah, well, with Rex Ryan, he kind of creates a lot of intrigue. What's he like?
You know what? You would love playing for him.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. You would love playing for him. You would love the team meetings.
I bet you they're not exactly traditional.
No, there's nothing traditional up there. I tell you, he's a brilliant defensive coach. The players love him. And he loves the players, which is huge, no question. And it's just interesting. And Tony said it best. There's just a lot of noise. There's a lot of side stories. This guy does this, or this guy says this, or the head coach, you know, makes a comment that creates so much distraction. It creates a lot of distraction. It's tough enough to win in the NFL. And you're going into each game having to answer questions in that market. It's just it's a circus. It was crazy.
So what do they have up there now, Brian? 4-5 major newspapers.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the few markets left with multiple papers.
The Times and the Bergen Record. I mean, you got 5 or 6. Plus, you've got dozens of radio stations.
The Post, the Daily News.
And you got television
Newsday,
stations.
Times.
Coming, yeah, you got television stations in New York, but you also have them coming down from, you know, over. Well, I guess the Giants are the ones that get more, but you get them coming down from Hartford and places like that. They want to cover the NFL. I mean, it's. There's nothing like it. I mean,
when I was there, there was 5 major newspapers.
Oh yeah, there's still.
And then nowadays you have the cable sports, you know, networks that are.
Five.
I mean, you know,
yeah,
4 or 5-fold.
Well, then
compared
ESPN
to what they used to
and
be.
Fox, they're all there. They're all there. I mean, because it's the Jets and the Giants. They can't get away from it.
No.
You know, I always wondered how Tom was going to deal with it because down here in the media room, I mean, there was barely a dozen people.
Right.
And then you go up there now, and I mean, it's the team meeting room is full. You can't get away from those stories.
It's nonstop in that market. But, you know, it's nonstop now, but then once one team kind of fades off, then, you know, they you just get ignored, you know.
The Jets are on the verge of that. I mean, after last year, now they won't as long. I mean, Rex is a soundbite waiting to happen, so they're going to cover that. But the way that franchise is going, I mean, after 2 straight years AFC title and all the hype and all the excitement, I mean, they're not very talented. Especially offensively, tell me where the
well. I just want
well, let's start with the quarterback because Rex Ryan named Mark Sanchez, the starting quarterback for this week's game against the Jaguars, Saturday night. Mark, your thoughts on him?
For the same reason we're starting Blaine. And I think Mark has shown enough. Now, it hasn't been great the last 2 years, but he did bring him two AFC championships. And I think Rex still believes in him to a degree, and he needs the work. Are you really going to put
– Is he any good?
He is good. He has had moments. He works hard. He can make the throws. His decision-making, obviously, needs to get better.
That hairband's got to go first.
The hairband, I'm not a big fan of either. But are you going to really put the give the keys of the car to a rookie, you know, on
no.
a year that you really need to win some games?
No chance.
They have to win. You're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah,
now,
but the interesting thing is, though, is that, you know, John Idzik, the general manager now, had said that he's going to have a large say into who the starting quarterback is. And so, you know, if you're Rex Ryan, you heard that, you probably went, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's going to work well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they need to win. And if you're the owner, if you're Woody Johnson, you got to be tired of the last, you know, the last couple years. Because if you're going to – if the team is going to operate like that, whatever word, you know, behave like that, you know, all you better win some football games, and they're not doing that anymore.
The worst thing that happened to that organization was when the former general manager gave Mark Sanchez an extension with 2 years left on his deal. That should have never have happened.
Because he got locked in.
Well, then he got guaranteed money. I mean, if they cut him, what do they got to pay him, like $8 million a year?
Yeah, for two more years.
For a guy that just had a butt fumble.
You know, I'm looking at the roster.
But they're not very talented, guys.
Well, and, you know, you're on the offensive side, you're right. They're skill position players. I mean, you just don't see them.
Where? Their offensive line.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, DeRickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold are two
outstanding
players. And that's really on the offense, that's it. I mean, they don't have a running back that you can point to and say, well, that's the guy.
Tight end is now in Miami.
Yeah.
Keller.
Yeah.
Gone.
And he, boy, he's a good player.
Good player.
And then their receivers are Jeremy Curley, you know, who is not a one or a two, and Stephen Hill, who, you know, had 21 catches last year in 11 games. Now, on the defensive side, they've got some ability.
Sure. A lot of first-round picks on that defensive front.
Yeah, I mean, Quentin Copels, Sheldon Richardson, two young guys. David Harris is a really good middle
solid.
Linebacker.
Very solid.
They don't have a pass rusher, though.
Well, I don't know
Muhammad
about
Wilkerson.
That now. Wilkerson had 5 sacks last year.
Okay.
Copels had 5.5.
That's my point. They
no
don't have a pass rusher.
No double-digit guys.
They don't have a pass rusher. No, but if you get 5 sacks, you're not a pass rusher.
If what they need is one of those – you know, outside pass rushing threats. They got guys that can bring it in the middle.
Very good. No, they absolutely.
Yeah,
they
have really
good.
Bring it in the middle.
Absolutely.
But they need an edge rusher, which they don't have. That's been their biggest problem.
It's
you know, under
problem too.
Well, I mean, they got a little bit from Calvin Pace in the past. Who's the other outside linebacker that was there for quite some time?
Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas was a really good outside player, but Brian Thomas is no longer there. Calvin Pace is getting long in tooth. You know, so they don't have that edge rush ability.
Which is why you see the scheme that they
exactly
use.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. They create pressure with their blitz packages.
And if you can pick it up, and I mean, and recognize and the quarterback get the everyone on the same page.
That's not easy.
Which is hard. No, I'm saying, but there's holes in that secondary because they do some unconventional things and they leave areas exposed because their belief, and Mark knows this better than I do, is that they're going to get home and bring four to a side and put pressure and force the quarterback to go where he doesn't want to go.
If there was ever a game that you wanted to have Brad Meester playing, this is it.
No question.
You know, I mean, Brad
directed
got the
traffic.
Week. Oh, man, because, you know, Brad got the week off last week. You want to have Brad in the lineup this week, and he's going to play. You know, but this is going to be a demanding game for him to make sure that everything is clean up front, to make sure that they've got, you know, a guy for a guy. You know, so they can make sure that they can block everything.
We always felt going against defenses like this, and this is the truth, if you can protect it, if you can pick it up, then you've got chances because there are some weaknesses in the secondary.
Which is key because there's a quarterback competition going back there.
And we'll talk more about that and the Jaguars week that was on the practice field and the week ahead here on Jaguars Thursday with Mark Brunell, Tony Buscelli, and Jeff Lagerman. You can join us 355-NFL-1. Thoughts on the quarterback competition? Bring them. 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, here we go. Blaine Gabbert starts on Saturday night. By the way, the kickoff is at 7:30 from MetLife Stadium in New York. We'll start things with the Public's Tailgate Show at 4:30. And then we'll pick up our entire network at 6:30 with Jaguars pregame. You'll hear all of these guys and more throughout those 3 hours. And, of course, then Tony and Jeff and I are in the booth. And then you're right next door with TV. How'd it go, by the way? Has he offered you a constructive critique?
I didn't hear it. I haven't seen it yet.
Really?
No.
You know, the feedback I got, it reminded me after my my first start in 95. I went up to Kevin Gilbride. It was against the Jets.
Yeah, I remember. It was your birthday, too.
It was. And I went up to him. I said, hey, Coach Gilbride, how'd it go? How'd I do? You know, I just wanted some early feedback from the guy that mattered the most. And he said, well, it was a beginning. It was a start, which meant you didn't completely stink it up, but there was a lot of room for improvement. So I think it's
I think I said kinda, the same thing to Tony.
It was a start. It was a beginning. There's certainly room for improvement, but I enjoyed it.
Did you?
I really enjoyed it, especially the second half. And actually, Jeff said this to me weeks ago. He said, you know what? Just make it conversational, like you're talking to a buddy about a football. And kind of once that clicked in, I felt more comfortable, but certainly hoping for a better outing against the Jets.
Getting better.
Yeah, trying to get better.
All right. This week, they'll get Maurice Jones-Drew back. They'll have Jonathan Cyprian on the field. They'll have Justin Blackmon on the field. Thoughts on those guys getting back into the lineup and, what it means for the quarterbacks, obviously, with a couple of those guys.
Well, before we get to that, I was a little bit surprised that they played Maurice Jones-Drew this week. I thought they'd wait to week three for a multitude of reasons. The two main ones is he's come off Liz Frank and he's working his way back into shape. And Maurice has said, listen, I'm working my way. I'm getting better every day. And two, he's gone preseasons before of not playing and has not affected him. And you only have so many carries in your body per year. And he's a veteran. He's been one of the best running backs in the NFL. He is very, very good. He knows how to play the game. I thought they'd wait another week before they put him on the field.
I think the guy that's most ready is Justin Blackmon. I thought he had a tremendous week of practice.
He looks good.
Really surprised me because, you know, having missed a couple weeks of training camp, you would think that towards the end of practice, maybe the energy level, the performance isn't quite there. And shoot, at the end of practice, Monday, Tuesday, and I know today, his energy level was high. His route runnings, were crisp. He was making plays. I was going, man.
You know what you forget, because we haven't seen him out there since the OTAs? How good his hands are.
Oh,
his hands are so good.
You know what's better than his hands? His body control.
Yeah, he's very good player.
Such a unique ability to control his body to make catches. You know how they do that? ESPN does that sports science thing, and they measure range and all that kind of stuff of where the guy could catch the ball in a certain area. I would love to know what his range would be compared to another. And I thought that they did something
they
on
did
him.
With I don't know if they did that on Calvin
they
Johnson.
They did with Calvin Johnson. I don't know if they did it with Justin Blackmon coming out of Oklahoma State or not, but I'd be curious to know how he would compare, you know.
Here's
with
what
some
I do remember.
Guys.
In New Orleans last year, it was his first preseason action. His first catch was on the far sideline away from where we were way at the top. And he had a safety and a corner that were covering him, and all you saw were these great big white gloved hands snatch the ball. And then remember, he ducked, and the defensive back went over him. You talk about body control. That's it. And I think he picked up 6 or 8 yards, but incredible physical gifts.
He'll help a lot out there.
I expect him to really take it up a step, you know, for the offense. Now, Jonathan Cyprian, you know, a rookie who's missed 3 weeks of training camp, you know, my expectations aren't as high. You know, and you could tell that he's still trying to feel his way kind of through the practice and through getting all of the knowledge down of the defense.
He needs reps.
You know, because in the OTAs, you remember him. I mean, he stood out. You know, he's vocal. He was flying around. Did you notice Cyprian this week, vocal, flying around? No, not like he did in OTAs because, you know, he's 3 weeks behind and he's a young guy. You know, but, I mean, I think he's going to be okay. I mean, he looked that good in OTAs, but it's going to take him certainly longer than like a Justin Blackmon.
Now, they'll play without Luke Jokel this week. Hip injury. Did you ever have this?
No.
You?
He had every other one.
Well, between the three of
I got
you,
new
you
hips.
Had them all.
I have new hips, but no hip injury.
Okay.
Never bothered me once playing, but.
Yeah, I never had. I think they're terming it a hip flexor, you know, which may not be the case. I mean, I don't think they have to be totally truthful when it comes to the injury report in the preseason. But, you know, anytime you're talking about, you know, your top pick and he's got a hip that's kept him out basically a week of practice, that's a concern.
I don't know if it's a concern. I think they're being cautious and making sure this isn't something that lingers. And you have two more preseason games. Yes, you'd like him out there. Yes, you want him to get as many reps because he's going left to right. We've talked about a lot about that. But I think it's very smart to be very cautious with him. It's a soft tissue injury. And the last thing you want that thing
apologist.
Is
apologist. Lingering. He's a lineman apologist.
Oh, absolutely. The last thing you want is that thing lingering for the year. So I think it's smart. He has plenty of preseason left to get the reps he needs to be ready for opening day.
Well, and Gus said earlier on his show that if it was a game, he'd play.
Right.
Same thing with Cecil Shorts. It was a game, they'd play.
Yeah,
so they're being very cautious with those guys, which must mean they feel good about where Maurice is at to have him on the field.
Well, and Mark could talk about this. I never had one soft tissue injury, so I'm not even going to try to comment. But you had the hamstring and tried to play through it. And if you try to play through a soft tissue injury, you end up dealing with it for the next 5 months as the season goes on.
Yeah, in preseason, you want to make sure that on opening day, you're fully healthy because those things can linger. You know, hip flexor, hamstring, whatever. They will stay with you for a long time. Let me throw something out there. Do you think that, you know, considering Maurice Jones-Drew missed 10 games last year, do you think with a new coaching staff that perhaps they want to see something too?
Sure. I mean, when you look at him, what do you think his weight is?
Oh, gee.
No idea.
I'm looking at 210 on the list here. But
you think that's what it is?
I think it's north of that.
I think it's north of that.
I do too.
I think he's still got some work to do. I think he's still a little heavy, you know, and maybe part of the progression for him, you know, is and hey, look, Maurice has never been one in training camp to where you just say, hey, he's ready in preseason week number two. You know, it's always, to use the terms, a process for him. You know, and then when he hits opening day, he hits the ground running.
Every time. Listen,
But he does look not at playing weight.
And he's only going to get 4 carries, 5 carries at the most, you think?
I don't even know if he'd get that many.
Yeah. It would be good to have him out there, of course.
So then why play him? I mean, if you're only going to give him 4 or less, can he get enough work to make it valuable for him?
Well, I think for him, going through the pregame routine, being with his team, having the ability – because, you know, it's hard to be a leader when you're not even suiting up and you're not going through pregame warm-up and you're not playing at all.
But he could do that without playing.
Yeah, but
right?
I would say this. I think it's along the lines Jeff was talking about. I don't think it's going to help him get in shape more or get the weight where he wants it to be or prepare him for opening day anymore. I really don't. I think he'll be ready opening day whether he played or not. While I can see a reason why I would play him if I'm Gus Bradley, I have a young team. I'm trying to set a culture here. I got a young quarterback. I got a lot of young guys out there. The one is one of my established veterans is my running back. And just having him in the huddle in that first quarter, for whatever snaps he plays, his presence, I think, is important for this team. So that's why I understand why they're playing him. I don't think it has anything to do with his weight, his being in shape, whether he can play or not, that they want to see whether he can, you know, run the ball. I think it's his presence in that huddle, on the field, around the team. I think that's important.
You know what? I'd agree with that because I think this is more about Blaine Gabbert than it is about Mojo. Just, you know, being in Blaine's shoes before, knowing that your best player, your best running back is just in the huddle. Tony nailed it. That carries a lot of weight. That goes a long way for a quarterback that needs to have a good day.
I'm going to be the one that's going to give Maurice more fuel. I don't think you can make the assumption that he's going to be ready for the season. And until you know, until you see it, until you see him run with power and have guys hanging on his back and he pops right up and then next week he's right back at practice, how do you know?
Well, we said the same thing, Jeff, when he had the knee and everyone.
I know that.
And he rushed for 1,600 yards.
I get that. But you cannot make that assumption that he's going to be good to go. Oh, we're not going
to
worry about him. He's fine. He'll be ready.
In 3 carries, that's going to say something in those 3 carries and tell you, okay, now he's ready.
No, not in 3 carries. But
well,
I mean,
that's all he's probably going to get.
You want to see it in the preseason. I do. I mean, if you got a player coming back from injury, wouldn't you want to see it?
I agree.
I mean, if you're the ones making the call.
Well, if you're Maurice, don't you want to get out there and show it? Because it is your final year.
I would.
Don't you want to get out?
Not in the preseason.
No, I'm sure.
Come on, guys. I mean, we got 16 games. I mean, he is going to be, unless he gets hurt, he's the starting running back for this team opening day.
But you can't make the assumption that he's going to be fine.
So you're saying there's something that could happen in this preseason game?
No, I'm saying we have.
Oh, all of a sudden, well, let's move him down the depth chart. We're going to move up
someone
else.
We haven't seen him to be able to handle a game coming back from a foot injury for a running back.
You're not going to see it either in this game. You're going to get three carries, four carries at the most.
I'm just saying is that I want to start to see the progression towards that. I want to start seeing some evidence. I don't need a conclusion. I want evidence.
Are these the only four carries he gets in the preseason, or does he get four carries?
Well, we don't know if it's going to be four carries.
We're assuming. But assuming that he's not going to get a whole lot of carries, five or fewer. Does he get five or fewer tonight and five or fewer against the Eagles, or do you see him for five plays and that's it?
No, I think he gets more reps in preseason game three, which is where you're going to put your starters and you're going to game plan for the first time. Then I would actually agree with what Jeff's saying. I disagree in week two. I don't think that's what they're looking for. Week three, you get your offense out there, you're going to game plan. Jed Fish is going to put a look at the Eagles, and he's going to be a part of that game plan. So then, yes, I want him in there for week three.
And I think there's a question about that, too. I mean, I don't think you assume there's going to be a game plan in week three. You know?
Jeff, every preseason I ever – every year I ever played in, week three was the one you started game planning and watching film and more work, and you had a – not your full playbook, but that was – you game plan for the first time all preseason.
Well, it's not as much the game planning, strategy of put together an offense. It's more the schedule, a regular week schedule.
Yeah, I'm talking X's and O's. I mean, you got a staff here that nobody has a book on, so why would you show everything you got?
You're not going to show everything.
I think we're going to see a very unconventional approach where you don't see, this nice game plan for week three. I think it's going to be very vanilla. It's going to be very basic because they want to be able to have the Kansas City Chiefs roll in here and go, what are they going to do? Right? I mean, if you're staff, wouldn't you want to have that little bit of an advantage?
I think that's completely overplayed.
Mm-hmm. All right, time for a break. We will roll along through one more segment of Jaguars Thursday. Mark Brunell, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, and you, callers, 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. And we're back after this from the Hanania studio on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right. 7-8 minutes left in our program here this evening. Don't forget, Saturday night, we kick things off with the Public's Tailgate Show, 4:30, right here on News Talk WOKV. And then we will roll through to Jaguars pregame, which picks up our network at 6:30, and kickoff is at 7:30. Midweek this week, offense bumping along the bottom, struggling. Mercedes steps up, has something to say. My only comment from that is he came out the next day and had a pretty good practice.
Great practice. He looked really good.
He talked the talk, walked the walk, and he did.
I like it. I like the leadership. I'm getting my days mixed up. I guess Monday was not a very good day. I wasn't here Tuesday, but I know you were.
Yeah, it was a rough day.
Awful.
Yeah, it was worse than Monday. Offensively.
Came out Wednesday, and they looked better after Mercedes' talk. That's what leaders do. I mean, that's what veteran guys have to do. I mean, sometimes the coach's voice is not the right voice in certain situations. You need a player to step up, grab guys, by the shirt and say, listen, this is not good enough, and we got to be better. And they were.
In a perfect world, you'd have the quarterback do that. But when you have two guys competing and either one of them, are having great success, you can't do that. I mean, you can't get up in front of a group of men who have been watching you and your performance isn't at a high level and expect to have words of wisdom and them to listen.
So true.
Yeah, you've got to earn the right to be heard. And the guy that gets up there in those players' meetings, they got to have the respect of the team, and Mercedes certainly has
and
that.
And you got to be good.
You got to be a player.
I mean, it's the thing we always laugh about, let's bring this guy in because he's a good leader. Listen, you know the only leaders on the team are the good players. You can't lead in this league if you're not good.
You don't have to be great.
No, but you got to be a good player.
You got to be a good player.
Or you can't lead. No one wants to hear from you if you can't play.
That is so true.
It's so true. I mean, you can write, listen, you can write leadership books and be a bestseller and be the greatest, you know, orator in the world and be a great guy and everything.
Rah-rah.
It doesn't mean a thing if you're not good.
How many times in those players' meetings over the years, though, did that one guy
stand up? And you're
stand
like, shut up and sit down.
Care to name, like, care to name any names?
You can't play dead. I mean, shut up.
Who did you say that to, Buscelli?
I don't know.
I don't know we need to name names. But there have been a few, I can tell you that.
Sure.
There are certain guys who are like, just sit down. I mean, no one wants to hear from you. No one cares what you say.
Okay, so when Mercedes steps up, and he's obviously a former Pro Bowler, guy that's having a good camp, and they come out the next day.
Great, and he had a great day, Brian.
He had a very exceptional day.
And right? That's what you have to do. If you're going to have the guts to stand up.
If you're going
to
walk the walk.
You better come out walk. And perform.
Okay.
You got to do it.
So, you're going to talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
Talk, walk the
so
walk.
How much did the talk help the team walk the walk?
I think it refocused them.
Yeah. Grab their attention a little bit. Listen, camp gets hard, which I always laugh about because it's all, I mean, camp has changed so much.
Yeah.
And everyone says, oh, it's the dog days of camp. I'm like, this is like the dog days of like regular season. I mean, you practice once a day, you go home at night. I mean, so, but still, it is camp. It's a grind. You're around guys all the time. You're beating on each other, and that wears on guys. And so sometimes it gets hard, it gets monotonous, and you need somebody to kind of snap you out of it.
You know, in every camp, too, the offense has one or two of those days. It just happens. It just happens. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, you can script it.
It's so
typically,
true.
You get it a couple weeks in, and, you know, it just happens. But how that offense responds really shows the character.
And you know, it's almost like,
and you guys remember most third weeks of training camp.
And
remember how that felt.
You just want to go home.
You're like, is this ever going to end? I mean, really? Can we just get to a regular season schedule and have this end? And of
you
course,
don't
on,
like each other. Oh, you know,
Monday, Tuesday it was 95, and then like 96 degrees, and so two days of just brutal heat.
And why is it? And Jeff, you're a defensive guy. Why is it whenever the defense has a good practice, it's a bad practice? But if the offense has a good practice, great practice day, boys.
But you know what, though? I mean, in Tuesday, the day you weren't there, you could kind of tell it wasn't pretty for the offense. And so when they got past, I believe it was 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s, I was going, man, the offense is really struggling today. So in my mind, I said, I'm going to chart completions in my head, which means count. You know, that's my chart. And so I said, all right, I'm going to count how many completions that Chad and Blaine have combined for the rest of practice. And I think I ended up like one drill short, and they had like four. I mean,
there was one point on Monday where they had eight straight incompletions.
It was a tough practice for those two guys.
Well, we were talking, Jeff, Monday, and listen, the two drills were going on at the same time, 7-on-7.
I was
which is
right
an
there.
Offensive
I you were
drill.
So right on.
That is an offensive drill.
Yep.
Pressure's on the defense. There's no pass rush. And then there's 1-on-1 pass rush, which is a defensive drill. And I'm sitting there watching both of them, and we're all sitting there. I said, all right, the D-line's whipping the offensive line today, which, I mean, sometimes happens in that drill. And it's a tough drill for the offense. So you look over, okay, maybe with the offense having a good day on the – and the defense is whipping the offense on the offensive drill as well. And that's when we looked at each other like, not a very good day today.
No.
And then it carried over to
– So it wasn't all just on the quarterbacks because that's all we talked about.
But
that's all we talked about is the quarterbacks all week long guys.
I was giving Mark a hard time earlier that, you know, it's all – you know, quarterbacks always say, oh, you know, if everyone blocks and everyone gets open, you know, I can do my job better.
You know,
but the reality is, on Monday at least, the offensive line was a sieve at times. I mean, there was guys running through, and it was hard.
You know,
it wasn't very good.
Teams take steps, and I'm a firm believer in this. Teams take steps when the players take ownership.
Exactly right.
And, you know, you can sit there and have the coach give all the speeches in the world. But when the players start taking ownership in what they do and how they do it, that's when you start to make progress. And I'm not saying that this has been a great moment in Jaguars history with Mercedes talking to the offense. I'm just saying that's a good thing. And that's a good thing that it's not like the coach went up to Mercedes and said, hey, Mercedes, can you talk to the offense after practice today? You guys haven't been really good. No, I mean, he did it on his own. And you know what? And I knew what it was about, but I wasn't within hearing distance, nor did I want to hear it. I don't have a right to listen in on that. But, you know, from a distance, because it was pretty much there for those to see that were off and away from it, the first thing you look for is the attention of everybody that's not talking. You know, And they were very focused on what Mercedes had. You never had anybody that kind of was just like, yeah, whatever. Like Mark and Tony were talking about with certain guys say something. You can tell that they were attentive, and you could tell that they were listening. And so it's no surprise that Wednesday they came out and they did better.
And had a pretty good practice today.
It was real crisp on offense today. You know, today was no pads. It's more of a timing thing. They're working off of a lot of the cards, which is, you know, working on the opponent. And things were crisp and fast and efficient.
Well, that's the key. On a day with no pads, just helmets, you want to be fast. Fast and efficient is the key thing. You got to move,
Saturday night.
Flying around. That carries over to game day.
Find out Saturday night, 7:30 from MetLife Stadium. Jaguars and the New York Jets again, 7:30 kickoff here on WOKV. And we'll start with the Publix tailgate show at 4:30. Guys, thanks so much. See you on the airplane tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Loggy, thanks.
New York.
Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to Jaguars Radio.